after Jesus Christ, the Romans at the Council of Nicaea, they decided that there were five books that they didn't want to include in the New Testament. The Gospel of Barnabas, who was the blind companion of Jesus Christ, was not included in the New Testament. But if you go to the Gospel of Barnabas, again, go to your computer and punch in the word Barnabas, and then add to it Saint Barnabas. And you'll find that his genealogy, and you'll find that his history and his biography was that he was the blind companion of Jesus Christ. And his book was called the Gospel of Barnabas. There in the Gospel of Barnabas, the name of Muhammad is mentioned clearly and perfectly. It says, I am a mother, a non-Muslim. My son is a Muslim. I learned a lot. Thank you. Thank you also for coming. And I wish that also you would be one of the people that I get a chance to meet. As a new revert from Roman Catholic, I'd like to know if we are children of God. Well, children in the sense that God doesn't really have children. He doesn't beget. That means God doesn't become pregnant, nor does God make anyone pregnant. By his command, women become pregnant. By his command, Mary became pregnant, but God doesn't beget, because begetting and being begotten is a human animalistic function. But if we say that God is the Father in the sense that God is the owner, that God is the Lord, that God is the sustainer, that God is the creator, and that we are the subordinates, and if we are good servants of God, God loves us, similar to a man or a person loving their children, then in a metaphorical sense, yes, we're all children of God. But not in the physical sense. Not in the literal sense. And that's the only sense that Jesus Christ could have meant. As a matter of fact, Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, God said, Isaiah is my son. And he said, Abraham is even my son, and David is my son. So by that mean, God had sons by the tons, but in a metaphorical sense. Said, didn't Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the light? Nobody goes to the Father but through me? Sure, that means that nobody will go out of this room but through that door, but they're not part of the building. If I said, everyone will leave out of this door, this building by that door, and there's no other way to go through but that door, that doesn't make you part of the building. In the time of Jesus Christ, he was the truth and he was the light, and he was the way towards God. Whoever followed him, whoever obeyed him, whoever imitated him, whoever loved him would find God, but that doesn't make him God by that statement. No more so than a teller that works at the bank that hands you the money is the owner of that bank. And maybe Jesus meant the counselor was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was Gabriel, so that wasn't the counselor. The Holy Spirit, the sacred spirit, was the one that visited all the prophets, that also visited Mary, that visited Hannah, that visited Moses and Abraham, that brought all the scriptures. That's the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit did come to Jesus, but that wasn't Jesus. And Jesus Christ did speak on behalf of God, but that wasn't God. So the people got confused, but the Romans, they already had, the Gentiles already had a triple God. So when they read and accepted what Paul wrote, they took the triple God idea, the pagan idolatry that they were already following, and they took the name of Jesus Christ and put it with them, and they called Angel Gabriel the Spirit, and Jesus the Son, and Almighty God the Father, and there you have the Trinity. But I ask anybody that's in here, does anybody in here understand how God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, a person, a person, a person? So God is a person, Jesus is a person, the Holy Spirit is a person, a person, a person, a person, three persons, one, two, three. How does one, two, three people get to be one? Give me that mathematics. Also tell me, how do they sit? How do they judge? Do God sit on the right? God sit on the top? Do God speak first or Jesus speak first? Do God speak and Jesus contradict? Who speaks first? Who stops? Who sits? Who stands? Who was there first? It's confusing. The Catholic Encyclopedia says concerning the Trinity, it is an absolute mystery that has never been answered until now, and it remains a mystery. Those of you who are Catholics, have the Father, have the cardinals, have the monsignors, has the Pope, has anyone ever cleared up the mystery of the Trinity? Nobody, absolutely nobody, because it remains a mystery. And another name for mystery is confusing. It's simply not true. No one spoke of a Trinity before 354 years after Jesus Christ. That was the first time the Trinity came about. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That whole notion, it happened 354 years after Jesus Christ. So don't blame that on Jesus. Blame that on those that conspired 354 years after him. Now, it's not your fault that you were born into a Catholic family. And I'm not going to say it's your family's fault. We're human beings, and we're creatures of habit. And sometimes we just don't know how to stop the habit. But I'll provide you with some indelible information that will rock your socks. Literally. If you want it now. And understand this, I have no aspersions. I cast no aspersions. I don't disrespect the Catholic Church. I don't disrespect Christians at all. Everybody is given to follow what they want to. But if you want to uncover some rocks and see what's underneath it, I'll do it for you. After all, I don't have a problem because I've been there. I'll give you a little personal story. I'm not an orphan, but my mother had 9 children. And unfortunately, she was born poor in Harlem. So when I was 2.5 years old, I wound up in a foster home. And between 2.5 years old, until 16 years old, I was in 6 different foster homes. And every one of them was a different denomination. Protestant, Baptist, Episcopalian, Methodist, and Catholic, and Pentecostal. So you know, I was all mixed up. But by the grace of God, one thing that was clear. God was in my life. See? God was in my life. Different denominations, but God was in my life. So, by the grace of God, by the time I was 16 years old, I had kind of like tasted the whole buffet. So when I began investigating, I think I did a little bit of backtracking, a little bit of investigation. And that's why I can conclusively say to you that it's not necessarily the Christian's fault. It's your fault when you leave here. If you want to continue to plod ahead blindly, and you want to ignore all the signposts, all the indications, all the propositions, all the indications that I've given to you, if you want to ignore that, you can. Or, if you're a Christian and you're sincere, I'll provide you with some more indications if you want to sit with me upstairs in that upper room. there's no criticism of Islam. I think this, what is this? Yeah. Since Islam is not governments, but why is the less freedom of religion so-called Muslim nations than in other nations? Okay, I think what the person here is saying that this is no criticism of Islam itself, since Islam is not governments. You're right. But why is there less freedom of religion in so-called Muslim? Well, see, look, I'm glad you said so-called Muslim, because everything rises and falls in human beings. And yes, it is true. It is true that in many of the nations where Muslims are, there is less human rights, open speech, open government. But there's a reason for that. If you study history, you find out that after Muslim lands were invaded, the invaders set up their own puppet governments. Then they created social conditions that became unbearable to force those Muslims out of their countries, and then they created institutions in their countries to invite those Muslims. And so the Muslims came into the Western countries to benefit from the institutions and to run away from the tyrants that were created by those who invaded their countries. Now, you got to really follow the history to understand it now. So because there seems to be what you call, or what is called, democracy or hypocrisy, whatever you want to call it, because there appears to be freedom of this and freedom of that, I want you to examine something else. What countries have the highest rate of prostitution in the world? The Muslim countries or the Western countries? What countries have the highest rate of drug addiction, alcohol addiction, and death that result from the two? The Muslim countries or the Western countries? What countries have the highest rate of suicide? The Muslim countries or the Western countries? What countries have the highest level of child molestation and pedophilia? The Muslim countries or the Western countries? What countries allow pornography to be blatantly put on television, billboards, subways, magazines, in the public, blatantly? Muslim countries, Western countries. So I ask you, which one of those countries would you consider to be more civilized? You have to answer that question for yourself. I've answered it. I've been to 37 countries. Now, of course, I thank God for the privilege of being an American, a Muslim American, because I have the best of two worlds. But Muslim American, not American Muslim. Because by being Muslim, I'm able to avoid most of the minds and the feel of America. By being Muslim, I can avoid most of the corruption and the frustration and the disparagement and the immorality and the hypocrisy and the people whose lives are empty. This is by the grace of Almighty God. So I want to say to the person who asked that very nice question that the issue of freedom, don't mistake the issue of oppression by Muslim leaders to be a lack of freedom in terms of the people's spiritual ambition. Still, in the Muslim world, the Adhan is called 5 times a day, even in the oppressor countries. Still, the people are regulated by the Quran. Still, you find that women in the Muslim countries, they're not wearing the veil, and they're not covering themselves, and they're not honoring family, and they're not honoring the vow of marriage. They're not doing this here because they're forced to do so. I'll give you another statistic. Did you know that in the Western countries, between the UK and America, I won't count Australia, just the UK and America, did you know that 516,000 abortions are done every year? 516,000 children's lives are stamped out because people feel they made a mistake and it's been approved by the government. That doesn't happen in a Muslim country. Family, the word family is still a treasured word in the Muslim countries. Family has become a very abstract terminology in the West. And even male and female has become abstract in the West. Did you know that in the Western countries, two women can get married and adopt children? And did you know that in the Western countries, two men can get married and adopt children? That doesn't happen in Islam. Now, we won't go into the whole issue, the morality of whether somebody was born with that disposition and whether they got the individual right, so forth and so on, but animals don't do that. The question, the Lord's Prayer was teaching, not his own prayer. That was the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer was, the people asked Jesus Christ, teach us how to pray. In case the person is writing here, you don't know. They asked Jesus Christ, oh Rabbi, teach us how to pray. And he taught them how to pray. That's called the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm not an authority on the Bible, but this is your scripture. That's what Jesus was talking this, not somebody else talking that, Jesus. And as for Paul did not write Revelation, I didn't say he did. The books that Paul wrote are very clear. Nobody knows who wrote Revelation because John is not known himself. John who? And there are different conflicting information as to who is this John. Is it the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Or is it a John of Revelation? Or is it the John who was a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, I tell you. Do your homework and you'll find out that the Bible authorities, the church itself, will tell you that the John of the four Gospels wrote 40 years after Jesus Christ that was not a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's not what I said. That's what the Bible authority said. But I'll be available again in that upper room if you want to talk. A confused Christian. There appears to be difference in interpretation of Islam in many countries. Why is this? There's a confusion among Muslims about many things, because some Muslims are knowledgeable, some Muslims are regulated, some Muslims are honest, some Muslims are decent, some Muslims are God.